Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Kate Andrews. And we've just had the chance for the summer statement. Was it a budget? Some called it a mini budget, but it's not a word that anyone in the Treasury really wanted to use in the build-up. Rishi Sunak used today's statement to unveil a range of measures in the hope that they will stimulate the economy. But he also talked about the fact that ultimately the heavy economic packages that the government have supplied throughout lockdown are coming to an end. And no amount, he said, of suggestions from opposition parties or critics that the furlough scheme should be extended would work on him. Here's why.
We have to be honest. Leaving the furlough scheme open forever gives people false hope that it will always be possible to return to the jobs they had before.
James, that's Rishi Sunak talking about the false hope that continuing the furlough scheme, for another month, another 2 months would bring, and also suggesting it would mean there's people would be less likely to train and new skills. But everything he was saying in this statement today seemed to suggest that the Treasury is braced for a large hike in unemployment.
Yeah, I think this is about this summer statement, if that's what they're calling it, was clearly about doing everything the government can to try and prevent a massive spike in unemployment up to, higher than 10% of the workforce.
But so, just paying everyone not to work in their current roles.
So you have a kind of £1,000 bonus for any firm that brings furloughed members of staff back and keeps them in work until January. You had these Kickstarter jobs where the state will basically pay a company to employ, or not basically, literally pay a company to employ someone between 16 and 24. There's no limit on the number of these things. And you can see here an attempt to try and stop 80s style unemployment. It is a difficult ask, because the big question here is, how long is this virus going to kind of so hold back economic activity? And I think you saw this statement was kind of very pro opening up the economy. This isn't just a state saying it is safe to go back and eat in restaurants. This is a state actively encouraging people to go and eat in restaurants by saying that, if you go on between Monday and a Wednesday, you'll get a discount. So this is an attempt to try and get demand back into the economy to kind of revive that kind of consumer consumption that has fallen off a cliff, not just because of a lockdown, but because of this virus.
Now, we'll go through the various measures, but just looking at what James mentioned, Kate, so the £1,000 bonus or incentive, you could say, for companies that bring someone back from furlough and keep them on until January. The Chancellor said that if every single company took this up for every single furloughed worker, it would cost the Treasury £9 billion. But even though we're getting quite used to high numbers, you don't get the sense anyone really in government thinks there's going to be that level of uptick or upkeep. Is that fair?
That is fair. You'd have to believe that every furloughed worker is going back to work, and unfortunately, that's almost certainly not going to be the case. Now, the Treasury has underestimated these furlough figures before. They didn't think that nearly as many companies would take them up on the offer. So you could definitely see a scenario where that figure is on the higher side. These are untested times, we don't know. But they don't expect it necessarily to hit that $9 billion figure, you're right, Katie. Assessing what the Chancellor has racked up in terms of spending to this summer statement versus the March budget, he has added roughly £30 billion as he did back in March. So they mirror each other. Now, March feels like years ago. I mean, we're in a totally different place now than we were then. But let's remember, back in March, it was thought that the government hiking up spending, increasing the deficit, was actually quite a big deal. A lot of people view this summer statement and say it's chump change. We're waiting for autumn, but it just shows how much money we're spending and how we haven't had a real conversation about how we're going to pay for it. The Chancellor said today he'd be looking at it in the medium term, but remarkably didn't actually lay out when that is.
Now, James, a lot of what was in the statement today had been trailed or perhaps leaked, but there was a particular focus on the hospitality industry, and that included VAT. Yeah. Can you talk us through the measures and also why that is something the government is so focused on in terms of its targeting?
Yeah, because the hospitality sector is, first of all, it employs a lot of people. So if that basically shuts down, that is big job losses. But also the summer is particularly important for the hospitality industry. Lots of hospitality businesses in Britain basically lose money in the winter, make good money in the summer, and then that tides them over again until next summer. If they don't get a summer season at all, lots of them are going to go bust and shut down, and that is going to cost lots of jobs. And that is the question. So how can you get hospitality going again this summer enough to stop lots of these businesses going bust? Also, the seaside towns in Britain are fairly deprived places anyway. They've got their own economic problems. If they lose their tourism sectors too, then they really are in even worse trouble. And the scarring effects of people not having a job makes them less likely to have a job in the future will really kick in. So you saw this attempt to drop that down to 5%, which is an interesting reminder. You know, under EU rules, once you've had VAT on something, it can never be eliminated entirely. It can be reduced to 5%. So the transition period means that this is only a cut from 20% to 5%. And so you saw this targeted VAT cut. You've also seen these vouchers. This is an attempt to try and get people to go on holiday, go out and spend money. And I think the big question here is the public confident enough to do that? I mean, there are two elements to that. The first is, do they think that going out is going to risk them catching the virus? One. And secondly, are people thinking, well, I think there might be a second spike in this virus this winter, so I want to husband my resources because I want to be ready in case, you know, everything gets shut down again. I want to have enough money to tide me through any difficult time. So I think the government has got to give people confidence that not only is it safe to go out, but that you're not going to be in a situation where, you know, we're not all going to be Leicester in a few months' time with the lockdown being reimposed.
Does the VAT cut fill your heart with joy? Do you think it's going to be effective in what the Chancellor is trying to do?
Very little fills my heart with joy these days, Katie, especially when there are government announcements. But look, I'm much more encouraged by the stamp duty cut. I think that's going to be very meaningful. 9 in 10 buyers now are not going to be paying stamp duty, they estimate. The stamp duty scheme has always created really perverse incentives. It stops people from downsizing. It limits people's ability to move. The tax is so heavy, it really can put people off making otherwise very sound economic decisions. So I think not only is the cut to stamp duty really positive, I think you'll see a knock-on benefit in terms of productivity simply by liberalizing the planning system a little bit. I am more skeptical of the VAT measure. As James says, it's not obvious that people are staying out of restaurants and pubs right now because they don't have the cash to go. A lot of them are really nervous, based on all of the stay-at-home rhetoric that we had for months, that they're going to catch coronavirus. So I think you have to instill a confidence in a nation, and that's going to take a lot of time. And it's not obvious that in the month of August, when you have this new voucher that gets you a discount on meals Monday to Wednesday, that a lot of the public will actually be ready to go back out there.
And James, if we look at the initial business group reaction, it does seem to be broadly positive. The hospitality industry have spoken in favour, or bodies have, about some of these measures. But as Kate points out, and I think as the Shadow Chancellor Annalise Dodds pointed out in the chamber, you know, the problem here is this summer statement, mini budget, whatever we want to call it, is just one of several moving parts. It's not alone enough to get things going, because it also relates back to public health. And the point from Labour to a degree is, ultimately, we can announce all these things, but until we've fixed other parts of the general coronavirus landscape, they're going to be fairly limited effects. So do you think that's a fair criticism?
There is absolutely no doubt that, you know, the multiplier effect of government stimulus is less if you've got a nervous population that doesn't want to leave their house, because, you know, you can't, these schemes won't work. I mean, I think on all these schemes, right, normally, you know, when the government says the scheme could cost up to, you think, oh, we'll be in trouble if it costs up to that. In all of these cases announced, from the cost of the vouchers to, most importantly, the furlough bonus for keeping staff on, if these schemes come in at the upper end of the government's estimate, that is good news for the government, because it means that more people have been kept in work and that people have actually gone out and spent money. I mean, this is the big challenge here, is if you haven't got people confident that the virus is under control, that they are not going to go out again. I mean, the other thing is, the reminder here is just how much this has cost. The stats today show that the government spent, I can't remember now whether it's, I mean, what's 3 billion between friends, 12 billion or 15 billion on PPE.
I saw 15 billion on PPE.
I mean, that is just a jaw-dropping number. I mean, £15 billion. Now, obviously,
perhaps it isn't helped when you have various, you know, misbids and planes landing.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's, you know, obviously, but you know, that £10 billion for the test and trace system, you know, all of these things, it is a reminder of just how much this crisis has cost. Now, Sajid Javid, Rishi Sunak's predecessor, was saying, you know, in the chamber, you know, you are going to have to balance the books at some point. You know, all of this is going to, but I think the crucial question here is how much does the economy come back? Because I think the government is quite prepared to essentially park all the debtors that accrued on kind of buying PPE and all that stuff, and just treat that as a kind of almost like a kind of war loan situation to be paid back over a very, very long period of time. But the thing which I think the government will be able to get away with doing in the eyes of the markets is running a structural deficit at the end of this crisis. So that is why the kind of question of how much the economy recovers is so crucial.
Now, Kate, I don't want to tease too soon, but you have a cover piece coming out in this week's Spectator called The Magic Money Tree. So on that theme, we are already talking about the fact that autumn budget might be the one with revenue raising or more difficult decisions. Do you think they are going to have to be, or do you think when you look at what the government's doing, the general suggestion right now is they're just going to keep borrowing rather than worry about anything that might, you know, make it harder to do what they're trying to do?
I think the autumn budget is undoubtedly going to be more difficult. The question is to what extent. The Bank of England has made very clear that it will fund the government to deal with emergency measures for coronavirus, but it does not think it's its job to fund day-to-day spending. Now, you could say it's clever, but it's also quite clear, I'm not sure they've hidden it very subtly, that the government has decided that its 2019 manifesto is how you deal with the corona recovery. So the question is whether or not the bank is going to agree with that and how quickly they decide that emergency spending in order to deal with 9 million furloughed people and the rest of it actually is starting to morph into day-to-day spending, which they don't think is their responsibility. I think James made a really important point that actually from the government's perspective, the more money they spend on the measures they've announced today, arguably the more successful they've been, because if people are in work, if they're still being employed, then that means you're not spending as much on universal credit, you're not spending as much on welfare, probably the NHS as well, because unemployment can lead to more illness and the rest. If it doesn't work, though, and they spend billions and billions of pounds on a scheme that still has potentially millions of people unemployed, they're going to have very tough questions to answer, not just how the money was spent, but why they decided to divert away from the usual tried and tested measures that a conservative government would bring in to stimulate an economy, and why they have definitely tacked to the left and gone for more state intervention rather than liberalizing the economy.
And James, when we were listening to the Chancellor's words, he was very keen to talk about jobs. There's a particular focus on the young. But another thing that he wanted to raise, I think, and emphasise appeared to be the union. What did he have to say?
He wanted to emphasise that the furlough scheme, the business support schemes, they could be so generous because the UK government has a significant capacity to borrow, in part thanks to Bank of England, as Kate points out, and that, you know, an independent Scotland, Wales or Northern Ireland would not have been able to have done such schemes. I think this is a sign of how the union is rapidly rising up the list of concern in Whitehall, and rightly so, you know, that because, you know, if you look at the polling in Scotland, there is now a consistent lead for the pro-independent side. And I think the government is trying to make the point, which has kind of got lost during this coronavirus crisis, where the government's public health handling of it, I think, has cost it support in Scotland. But it hasn't really got any benefit for the fact that these economic schemes are way more generous than an independent Scotland would be able to do. You know, independent Scotland simply would not be able to borrow the amount of money to fund schemes such as the furlough or the business grants and loans. And I think that this, you are going to see a kind of consistent attempt to push back on this SNP idea that, you know, that Scotland's getting nothing out of a treasury in this crisis. You know, it is getting an awful lot out of a treasury in this crisis.
And finally, Kate, polling suggests that Rishi Sunak is currently the most popular Tory politician, the most popular in cabinet. As we say, difficult decisions eventually coming. They might be able to delay him for a bit. Do you think that using your astute economic analysis and political powers of forecast, would you think that he would be the most popular Tory politician come December?
Wow, that's very generous, Katie. I wouldn't take my word for it, but I think even if he has to make tougher decisions in the autumn, he's definitely going to be remembered for quite some time as the Chancellor who dished out all the money during coronavirus. I will say, though, one sentence that really jumped out in his speech today was this. He said, "I will never accept unemployment as an unavoidable outcome." Quite a bold statement, given the economy has contracted by 25% in mere months. It's 25% smaller than it was back in February. Unemployment is inevitable. So I think he's got to be slightly careful with those words, but I suppose what he was trying to get across is that he cares, and I suspect the public, broadly speaking, think he does.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you, James.
Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.